It's 1 o'clock.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 17th of November. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
I still feel I'm on sort of, you know, Savannah time.
Do you?
Yeah, I was just about to say, hi, y'all, good morning.
Oh, good grief.
Where's my shrimp and grits?
Oh, good grief. We're going to have this for a month now, aren't we?
What I wanted to ask you, because you are very knowledgeable, why when you're in USA, which is a hugely big country, are you eating Canadian bacon?
Because the Americans don't make bacon. In exactly the same way that they don't make cheese, apart from Monterey Jack. And calling Monterey Jack cheese is a travesty against the Trade Description Act.
But I thought that Canada was famous for mooses and more beefy things than piglets.
Yeah, but Canadians are like English versions of Americans, aren't they, if we're really honest? And they do some nice bacon. But I still don't do it in an English style.
No, it's quite fatty. It's very streaky, very nice, and often quite sweet.
And you have
sweet.
It crunchy and crisp. And,
very nice.
It's the maple syrup, don't you know?
Yeah, the maple syrup.
It's cured
syrup.
In maple syrup.
And don't they say, when they talk, Canadians, don't they say a boot?
Quite possibly.
Instead of about. A boot. Isn't that how you tell a Canadian? Because you know when we have Brant on, and he says...
Who's not Canadian at all. He's from New Zealand.
When he says fish and chips,
That's
how you know he's not an Aussie.
Oh, he's from Northern Ireland.
Fish and chips. No, he's a Kiwi.
Why were you doing Northern Ireland accents then?
Was that my Zedcar's accent?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, for those in the studio who are a bit younger and won't even know what
Zedcar's
is...
They don't know what on earth you're talking about. They're sitting there in stunned silence going, what on earth is this all about?
No. They wouldn't know that. Wooden tops.
No.
Wouldn't know. Listen with Mother. Wouldn't know.
Anyway, we haven't got time to go over your back catalogue.
Bill and Ben.
I think we'll just start off with the show for today, shall we?
Yeah. How is your back catalogue?
My back catalogue's fine, thank you very much.
Yeah. Who might the sponsor be today?
Today's show sponsor are the lovely people at RAP Office Contracts, the fit-out and construction specialist based in Maidstone, but covering the whole of the southeast of England. They're a fabulous design company and fit-out company, and do check them out. Do follow them on the Twitter, RAP Office Contracts on the Twitter, or RAP Office Interiors. They've got a number of Twitter accounts, and they post some really interesting stuff of the designs they've done for various organisations, schools, colleges, hospitals.
Pods,
yeah.
Good pod.
Yeah, absolutely. So now do follow them and have a look at the work they do. A big thank you to Julie and the team.
I know someone I'd like to put in a pod.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
So big thank you to them. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have already had 9,873.
What's the matter with you?
Tweets.
Come on, start tweeting.
Yeah.
Gosh. Not, they're obviously slovenly today.
Only 9,000 so far, absolutely.
I don't know what the matter with
them. Yeah, no, they're all tired and slow today.
They must be having afternoon tea or
absolutely.
Something.
We'll read some of the tweets out in a moment and some of your emails. We've got a great lineup of guests today, and we're going to be talking to Mr. Dan Powell of Co Club Southeast fairly shortly. And then in the second part of the programme, we're going to be talking to Oliver McNeil about Legend Quests. And we've also going to be joined on the phone just after 2 o'clock by a lovely lady from Exalt Lifestyles, who's going to be telling us about the talk she's going to deliver at the UnConference, which is happening in Canterbury.
What's the lovely lady's name?
Severin.
And what's the name of the company?
Exalt Lifestyle. Do you want her full name? It's Severin Hero Hagberg.
I love the way you say that. Exalt Lifestyle. So she's like a concierge, isn't she?
It's a concierge service.
So does that mean, does she work sort of freelance or is she in a hotel?
We're going to find out when she comes on the phone, aren't we?
I do love a concierge.
Yeah, and we're going to find out when she comes on the phone. She's going to tell us about it. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the UN conference, but I'm just going to have a little bit of a rant.
Oh, not
okay?
Again.
Yeah. We the UN conference is a first for the UK and a first for Kent, obviously. And it's a particular type of thing that obviously was first staged in the US. And a while back, having announced that we were going to do it, we got an email from a guy called Steve who said, ah, I actually staged the very first UN conference in Boston. And we thought, oops, we're going to get told off here. And he said, do you mind if I come to yours? And we went, no, that would be absolutely brilliant. That would be really lovely.
Really?
Thank you. We'd really like that. Do you know where we are in Canterbury? And he said, well, funnily enough, I do, because I've just opened a business in Discovery Park, a pharmaceutical business.
Wow.
But this is my rant. Guess what?
What?
He's not coming.
Why?
Because the Home Office won't give him a visa to come in the country.
You're joking.
Why would we want his jobs? Why would we want his money? Why would we want him to open a business here, which he's already done?
And he's from Boston?
And let him in. He's from Boston, yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It's ridiculous.
Is he appealing?
He's quite nice, yeah.
I knew the minute I said it. Yeah, I know you too well. I know you so well. What I was going to say was, can't he come in on a sort of, you know, vacation visa and then...
No, he applied for an entrepreneur's
and
visa, which is
someone.
What... No, he applied for an entrepreneur's visa, which is what he should have done, because he owns a business here.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they turned it down.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, can we all appeal for him on his behalf?
Yeah, but we ain't going to get it through by Thursday. That's the point. I mean, the point is he'll get through eventually, but he can't make it to Thursday. So what he's done, which is absolutely fabulous, and we really are made up by this, he's agreed to get up at 4 a.m. and do a live video link instead.
That is a really very admirable of
him. Yeah, and we're really chuffed with that. So.
And while you're talking about 4 a.m., when I was doing the tour with my new husband and his book at Frontier Funds.
Doing a tour where? Where were you?
Well, I was in everywhere. I was at Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina.
Were you? You've been
South
in America?
Carolina. Honey.
I didn't know. Why didn't you tell anyone?
Honey, I'm just getting started.
Ah.
And also New York, of course, Manhattan, did I mention? But when I was doing that, I was very diligent waking up at 4 a.m.
I can imagine you in my cousin Vinny, actually.
Propping myself up in bed in the hotel.
Yeah.
And
Hotel. It's a hotel.
Hotel.
Gee.
And propping myself up in bed, diligently doing his tweets because of the time thing.
Yeah.
Because he was on 6 a.m. breakfast TV there.
Yeah.
And I can see you looking at the clock when I talk.
Yeah, well,
really
I'm losing the will to live here.
Really annoys me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is diligent. That is the kind of diligent person that I am. And I admire this man.
Oh, I see. Boston. All of that diatribe was just so you could tell us that you've been in America.
Yeah.
Again.
No, it's that I admire your man, the UN conference
man. I've forgotten who
What's
were talking
name?
About.
Bernie?
I don't remember.
Bernie from Boston.
I really don't remember. I've completely forgotten everything we did.
I wonder if he's got a Boston Terrier.
Yeah, he's bound to have.
And if he has tea parties.
Why wouldn't he?
Tea parties.
Why wouldn't he? Yeah. Anyway.
Is he going to come on the show?
No, because he's not allowed in the country.
Well, he could phone up.
But I won't be here on Thursday, will I? I'll be there. Oh, she can't think this time of stuff through, can she? She really can't. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read some tweets instead.
Yeah.
Very quickly, we've had a fabulous tweet. Have you seen it from the Hunting Edge?
No.
It's a picture of their dog, Barley.
All right.
Supporting Small Business Saturday. And I just want to mention Small Business Saturday. The FSB Kent and Medway had a series of events last week and last night, launching our approach to our being FSB Kent and Medway to supporting Small Business Saturday, which takes place on December the 5th.
Yeah.
And we're starting to look out for the photographs of people holding up signs saying they're supporting it. But one of the first ones is the Hunting Edge, who lovely folks, Andrew and Wren, based over there in Dover.
Yeah.
And they tweeted out a picture this morning of Barley, their dog, in the Channel Radio studio, holding up a sign. It's on Twitter. Look.
Well, all I can see is me on a golf course.
Yeah, but I've not got the tweet up at the moment because I've just read the tweet for that and I'm moving on to the next one.
So Barley came here?
Yeah. Just on Twitter, go and look up my Twitter feed, my timeline, and there is a picture of Barley in the studio holding up, the dog is holding up a board that says, I'm in Small Business Saturday.
I'll tell you something.
The Hunting Edge. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Sometimes. Give them a follow on Facebook. The Hunting Edge.
Sometimes, Paul Andrews, your timeline takes over.
Yeah.
On my timeline.
While you're messing about with that, I've got a tweet here from Andrew Knott of the FSB who says, hi, Paul. It was great to meet you last week at the Small Business Saturday event. Can we have a shout-out, please, for anyone that would like more information about the FSB? You can call me, Andrew, on 07747 114627. That's 07747 114627. Or the easiest thing to do is to follow him on the Twitter. It's A Knott 20. That's Knott with a K. AKNOTT20. A Knott 20 on the Twitter. Give him a follow. Find out some more about becoming a member of the FSB.
I love this dog.
Have you got it?
I absolutely love it.
You found it.
Dog, yeah.
So retweet it. He snuck in first thing this morning and we took that picture and then he snuck away again.
What a well-behaved dog. Is it a real dog?
Of course it's a real dog.
It could be one of...
what do you think it is?
It could be one of Ollie's models.
Could it?
Ollie McNeil.
Could it?
I've just learned to spell his name. You never know with a
Mook.
with a Mook, you don't really know, do you, if it's an M-A-C or an M-small-C. You have to check.
So what did you come up with?
I did it correctly.
Did you? Oh, well, she would really, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I did do rather well at English.
Good. Osthouse Gifts have also tweeted, they say, throughout December, Osthouse Gifts will be at a pop-up selling handmade gifts and home decor. Come and visit us at 47 Burgate, Canterbury. That's by the cathedral there. So do pop along and have a look. Funnily enough, Dan, that's fairly close to where we hung out a few years ago doing pancake tossing.
I think it is, yeah. I remember that day. It was very windy, I think.
It was incredibly windy that day. Yeah. The old pancakes kept blowing away, didn't they? That was my excuse, anyway.
Mostly into your mouth.
Yeah. I did eat a few. That is true. So you can follow Osthouse Gifts on the Twitter. Osthouse Gifts, surprisingly enough, is their Twitter handle. And the lovely folks at UK Directory App, UK Directory APP. Looking forward to another instalment of the Business Bunker Show. Always informative, always entertaining.
How many instalments have you had so far? I've forgotten. 7 years.
Today is show number 251 of the new format, but we had 100 before that.
Yeah. It's 7 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
Feels like more.
Yeah, of course it does. Southeast Gardens. S_E_Gardens.
Based in Whitstable.
Yeah.
I might get them to come and look at my pear tree.
You might get them to come and look at your pear. you fluffed that, didn't you? You were gonna do a double entendre there, and then you pulled out of that one at the last minute. Did you get what I did there?
it's because I'm tweeting. I'm not really concentrating.
You're not really paying attention to what I'm saying, are you?
And a plum tree I have as well that needs sorting out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Southeast Gardens, S_E_Gardens, are a team of experienced horticulturalists working in and around Whitstable. No job too big, no job too small. You can call them on 07933 601344 or follow them on the Twitter is the easiest thing to do because you won't remember the phone number. But if you follow my timeline, you will see it there. But give them a follow on the Twitter, S_E_Gardens. So, have you finished messing around now?
Kind of.
Do you want to read an email?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks.
Good.
For
I thought you were itching to do that.
There's a charity mobile network which will bring. They're saying donate as you go to Discovery Park. So it's an innovative new mobile network.
Oh, it's a mobile phone network, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, new mobile phone network.
Yeah.
Purposefully built to support good causes, and it's launched at the famous Discovery Park, which is in Sandwich. Isn't it, Paul?
It is indeed.
Potentially raising thousands for cancer and sport-related charities. This is the C4C Mobile, and they will donate 10% of the user's monthly bill spend to a cancer or sport-related charity of the customer's choice. And this will be at no additional cost or charge or change in behaviour. They obviously don't know about your behaviour, do they? I guess they mean your... The way you use it, your usage.
Guess so, yeah. But we'd never know. If you brought your glasses with you occasionally, we might find out because you might be able to read the emails a bit better.
Do you know, I didn't even take them. Did I tell you in South Carolina, I didn't have any glasses?
Were you in South Carolina?
I was,
were you?
Yeah.
She was in South Carolina, apparently. She didn't take her glasses, though. No.
Honey, I couldn't read the menu.
Yeah.
But this will be powered by phone giant O2, Cause for Charities, the mobile virtual network enabler, plans to develop the concept further within the next 12 months. And they'll focus upon a development of both a charity brand led network alongside a sports related mobile network. And all aspects of the business will be run from Discovery Park, including the development of the SIM cards, customer service and technical support. So how do we find out more, Paul Andrews? Do you know? Sounds very exciting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, there's no website or anything. But
no,
I guess
you go to Discovery Park, I think. Discovery
along.
Park.
It's a long drive.
No, Discovery Park website, you fool.
But you wanted me to go now.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Caroline and Liz, Riverford _ Kent, the organic sisters.
I love them.
And they say, it's lovely to see Dan Powell, the fantastic pancake tosser.
I remember them.
Yeah.
They were there, weren't they?
They were indeed.
That famous day in Canterbury.
Yeah, they were.
Hello.
So Dan says hello.
They're the
ladies.
Organic sisters, Dan.
Yeah.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, they did send me a tweet earlier about their organic boxes, but I can't find it at the moment. As soon as I find it, I'll read it out.
I actually have it on my timeline. It said, Dear Jules Serkin, Dear Vanilla Web, we have run out of Christmas ducks.
They said. Because I thought it was crispy duck at first, but it's Christmas duck.
Christmas ducks, yeah. Christmas with a hashtag. But we still have our famous free-range happy organic turkeys, and order them now. But also what you can do is you can get your whole Christmas goodies all delivered to your door from Riverford, everything you need. So you don't have to trail around the supermarket, Dan.
Sounds brilliant.
Or Ollie. Mm-hmm. So you can get your cranberry, your mince pies, your butter, your cheeses, all your veg. However many people, I've got 12. That's if you don't come, Paul Andrews.
What, for Christmas dinner?
Yeah, Christmas dinner.
I'm having Christmas dinner at the London Beach.
I wish I could do that. My family won't let me.
Yeah.
But back to Riverford. So you need to put your order in. Doesn't matter if you're a first-time customer. Everything will be delivered to your door. Mine's all coming on the 22nd. I shall lie there on a chaise longue and my Christmas will all be delivered.
Really?
Yeah, even loo rolls, I said, could they do? And you know, because you use a lot of loo rolls at Christmas.
Do you?
Do you?
Do you notice that? Well, everybody
comes
around.
We needed to know that. Yeah.
Everybody comes around. You always
we really needed to know that.
And you always forget
so
something.
So, you heard it here, folks. On this business show, buy long in Kleenex. Yeah. Buy long in Andrex, because Jules has got a special Christmas lined up.
Well, because all the family are there, aren't they? They all go pop to the loo every minute and they use reams of it. Have you not noticed? I expect in your house you make them, because I know what you're like, you probably make them count
don't
out
you reuse
four
the sheets?
Squares a time.
Don't you reuse them? Recycling.
Well, my new husband, Dad, was a Jewish accountant, still is a Jewish accountant, and he used to make my new husband count so many squares to use when he was a kid, so right. That, you know, they didn't use
it. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, I don't do that.
Do you not?
They can have
no,
as much
maybe you
as
should.
They want.
We really needed to know that.
Kitchen roll.
I'm really so glad we've got that established now and we've got that out into the open where it needed to be.
And don't forget,
because not enough people talk about these kind of things.
Extra wide tin foil.
Okay. I wonder where we were going with that. Yeah. Extra wide tinfoil. Don't forget to wrap your turkey in.
Maybe some.
Hey, listen, I've had enough of this.
What's
I can't take
anymore.
What's
that thing when men get acid reflex? What's that thing they take? Gaviscon. Get Gaviscon in.
Thank you for that. I've had enough of this now.
Anyway, thank you, Riverford.
Yeah.
For that lovely tweet.
Yeah. Liz and Caroline, the organic sisters. It's lovely to hear from
get
you.
Get your order in now. That's what we say.
Absolutely. Listen, I want to play you some Vox Pop interviews we did at Get Social. And this is the second week of the Get Social ones that we did. So I'll tell you what. Have a listen to this. We met these folks 2 weeks ago at a Get Social event in Canterbury. And very interesting they were too. We're at the Kent Get Social event at Canterbury College today, and I've just met Gillian Munro. Hello, Gillian.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Good. Are you enjoying the day?
It's brilliant. It's actually really inspirational. I wasn't kind of expecting to feel quite as inspired as I have been by the speakers, and it's just so good that people want to get up and do things for their business.
Absolutely. And there's been an interesting range of speakers as well, hasn't there?
Yeah, I just thought Ministry of Defence is just going to be straightforward stuff, but they do so much interesting things on so many different platforms. Brilliant.
Absolutely. So tell us, Gillian, what do you do?
I run Munro Communications, and I do social media management and PR consultancy for businesses. And on the social media front, we're doing everything from devising and planning campaigns, helping companies develop their own guidelines for staff, training staff to use the platforms that they want to be on, and also helping them with crisis comms planning as well. So see, that's such a big part of what companies need to think about.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fantastic. So how do we find out more about Munro Communications?
You can find me on Twitter at Jill Munro, or you can find me on LinkedIn as well, Gillian Munro.
Fantastic. Do you have a website?
I don't have a website.
Okay, so we'll find you at social media, and that's
social
it.
Media.
Absolutely. Absolutely, why not? Gillian, real pleasure to meet you. Enjoy the rest of Get Social Kent, and we'll see you again.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. Hi, you're Scott Harding, I believe.
Yes, I am, from the Lemon Tree Book Company.
Fantastic. Are you enjoying your day so far, Scott?
It's been absolutely brilliant getting to network and socialise with everyone and see everyone being so passionate about social media and the marketing platform.
Absolutely, and people are tweeting away and periscoping and all kinds.
Yeah, we have been all morning. We've got our Twitter feed and our Facebook are updated throughout.
Fantastic. So tell us, what did the Lemon Tree Book Company do?
So we offer personalised children's books, we take it one step further. We actually let you make the book yourself.
Wow.
We're trying to get people involved in creativity.
Right.
Basically, we'll send you all the stuff you need to go and download from our app your own book. You can personalise it, tailor it, put your child's name in, you can put their place of birth, their age, details.
Oh, wow.
Make yourself the star of the book.
What a fabulous idea. I love that. I really love that. I bet kids love that too.
Yeah, we've had lots of positive feedback from a lot all over the world. We've had customers from the United States, from Australia, from the United Kingdom. They all love it, and we're hoping just to get the message out, really.
Awesome. Scott, so tell us, how can we find Lemon Tree Book Company?
So we are on all social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+. We're also on LinkedIn. You can find myself, Scott Harding. Just search Lemon Tree Books. We're on there.
And what's your website?
LemonTreeBooks.com.
LemonTreeBooks.com. Scott, great to meet you. Fabulous idea. Love it. I'm going to have a look at that later. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I've just met Simon Morgan here at the Get Social Kent event. Hello, Simon. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine very much. Thank you very much, Paul.
Cool. Are you enjoying the day?
Yes, very much so. Thanks. I'm learning a lot.
Brilliant. So tell us a bit about Simon Morgan, the HR department.
Yes, okay. Well, my company's called the HR department, and what I do is I provide support on all aspects of employment to small and medium-sized employers, i.e. the ones who don't have their own HR department.
Okay, so the last talk we've just heard from Amanda O'Kill from 30 Pages, right up your street, talking about employees' usage of social media and so on.
Yes, and I'd very much endorse the recommendation that she made there, which was that employers should have a policy on social media.
Absolutely.
And to protect them in the event of any problems.
Absolutely, and so many people overlook that, do they not?
Well, they do. They don't often even have some of the basic policies in place. Like
a contract of employment.
A contract is a good one, and a disciplinary and a grievance policy is a good one as well, yes.
Absolutely.
And that's where I can come in. I can help people sort out their
policies. It is one of the issues that I deal with when I invest in startup companies. It's one of the things that they don't like to think about early on, but it is imperative that we have all that kind of stuff in place. It's like insurance, isn't it? People go, well, do you know, it's expensive and da-da-da-da-da, but it's...
Yeah,
that's like more expensive if you haven't got it and you fall into trouble.
That's right, and often employers leave it too late. You know, they grow perhaps, they start off with perhaps one or two members of staff, don't think they need any contracts or any policies in place. They carry on recruiting people, and then all of a sudden they might have 10 or 15 staff, and then there's a problem and they haven't got anything in place. So one of the things I can do, if people want me to, is actually review any employment documents they've got or help to create them for them. Put the building blocks in place whilst you're still small, and then you'll be a lot better off when you get bigger.
Absolutely. How can people find out about you, Simon?
Well, they can go to the website, hrdept.co.uk, search for Simon Morgan. I'm based in Dartford. I cover Kent and South East London.
Fantastic. Pleasure to meet you again, Simon. Enjoy the rest of the event today, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks very much.
Hi, I'm with Tony Hooper at the Romney Marsh Day Centre. I was in your day centre the other day, Tony.
Thanks for visiting. As I'm sure you've seen, it's a fantastic facility down there on the marsh.
It is really brilliant. It's just around the corner from our radio station, so not far away. And it's a brilliant, brilliant facility. And you tell us what you do there.
Well, I'm in charge of the marketing, fundraising, and all the activities for the members that we have at the day centre on a daily basis. The clients come in from 10:30 to 2:30, Monday to Friday. As you know, in the Romney Marsh, we're a very rural area,
absolutely.
So it's a great facility for people to come in.
So this is primarily senior citizens
over 50s, and one of our ladies is 100 plus.
Blimey.
So and she looks as though she's 70, and I'm sure that's a lot to do with what we do for her as well.
Absolutely.
They're very isolated out on the marsh, as you know. We've got minibuses that go out and collect them from home. We've just started a community meal service now, which is going great guns. We're doing 20 to 30 people every week. Something that hasn't been down on the marsh for about 11-12 years now. It's going very, very popular. We're also starting up next week a telehealth service from the day centre, which is linking up with the Martello surgery, and with a couple of doctor surgeries closing, people will have the opportunity that are Martello users to come in and have an HD video linked straight through to the surgeries. So
this is really interesting and innovative stuff, and I know because I've been talking to some of the guys that work with you down there about this, and there's a lot of stuff going on that's very innovative with this. Probably too much to talk in this interview. What we're going to do is we're going to get one of you guys from Romney Marsh to actually come on the show and give us a much more in-depth overview of what telehealth is all about, because it's a really, really innovative project.
It's amazing. The things you can do now with, you know, just having a watch strapped on, which can do your blood pressure, your glucose readings, heart monitors. You know, if you had a fall at home, they can tell if you're lying on the floor, whether you're sitting down, face down. It's remarkable.
It's amazing.
Families can get involved as well. And, okay, where a lot of our clients are living on their own, families are dotted all over the country. They can actually link into these GP surgeries as well that will be running there. But we've got everything there for the elderly community of the Marsh. It's much needed. You know, they deserve respect. They deserve our support, you know, and we're giving it. And the place is absolutely flourishing.
Fantastic.
Really well.
Keep on keeping on with that. Are you enjoying Get Social Kent?
It's absolutely fantastic. All I've heard for the last 3 weeks is, you must see Zoe Cairns, you must see Zoe Cairns. Zoe was absolutely fantastic. It's a wonderful, wonderful event today. There's a good 300-400 people here. Absolutely amazing. Can't wait till the next one.
Brilliant.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Tony, good to meet you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolute pleasure.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTresearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, November the 17th. That was four of the second series of interviews, Vox Pop interviews, we did at the Get Social event 2 weeks ago in Canterbury. I hope you enjoyed them. We've had quite a few tweets about it. We've had a lovely tweet from the lovely Tabitha. Tabitha is TMA on the Twitter. Tabitha was a guest on the show last week, and she's obviously become a convert to listening in, because she's listening in again this week. And she says, I hope you have as good a show this week as we had last week. So thank you for that, Tabitha. And you can follow Tabitha. Tabitha is TMA, the marketing assistant. Do give her a follow on the Twitter. Jules.
Hey, Paul and Jules. This month at Create, this is from the lovely Tony and Jamie, we're bringing you presentations that will help you adapt and improve your online presence. Kicking off, they have Alexandra Campbell, who's an author, journalist and a blogger trainer, who will be sharing how your blog can be used to turn more of your visitors into customers, as well as the do's and don'ts of blogging. Kelly Culver is up next, and she'll be speaking about the social science behind social media and its addiction. Kelly is a marketeer, an entrepreneur and a cooking enthusiast. Also, make sure that you grab your tickets, says Jamie and Tony, now before it's too late, by going to fruitworks.co and then with a little slash create. Of course, all drinks will be provided by our amazing sponsor, the Business Bunker. And also Rift Accounting. We really love these guys and gals. The Gunnell Southern gals.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed. So get I don't know why you got all Southern. Anybody think you've been away to, I don't know, the US or something?
Shrimp and grits.
Yeah.
I did have some lovely pecan pie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, quite a lot of pecan pie.
Right.
I'm wearing it today. Create is a platform, they say, for the interesting, the unique and the inspirational. And you will leave feeling inspired to go and create something amazing. If you've any questions, just shoot us an email back or grab Fruitworks on Twitter at FruitworksCo.
Fantastic. That's on the 26th of November, 7 p.m. in the evening, Thursday evening, free beer and networking. 77 Stour Street, Canterbury.
You're very informed, aren't you, about it all?
Well, I'm sponsoring it.
I do like it there. You know, the fruit bats, I like them. Mm-hmm. There's an Invicta Chamber networking, and they say that you need to book by calling 01233. I haven't got my glasses.
You're squinting.
I know, I haven't got my glasses. I actually have them in my handbag, but it will take me an hour.
Find them in your handbag, because you've got everything else in your handbag too.
Over, yeah.
You've got a kitchen.
Yeah, I've got
a bathroom.
Almonds in there.
Three-piece suite. Yeah. a week's supply of food.
Rubber gloves.
9 bottles of Prosecco, half drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
01233503. What's that?
eight.
See, Oliver's squinting too. 8, 3, 8. Could have been a 6.
That's working really well, Jules.
I think Oliver needs glasses as well. It's not big enough font, darling. Including a full English breakfast. This is at 8 a.m. to 9:30. Chamber members £15 plus VAT, and non-members are £20 plus VAT. There's an incentive to book to join immediately in Invicta Chamber networking. So when are these? The next one will be Thursday the 19th of November at the Conningbrook Hotel in Ashford. And the guest speaker is Ben O'Toole from Crisis Mitigation Solutions. He sounds like a nice
Ben
Irishman.
O'Toole?
Ben O'Toole.
Oh.
Yeah. then I'm just thinking of Tim O'Shea. There was some joke, wasn't it? Oh, Timotei, you know, the shampoo.
If we're going to do all the Irish jokes, you know, we could be here forever and we could offend an awful lot of people as
we
well.
We could, especially Miriam McGurk, who's probably listening.
Yeah.
The author, you know. Including a driving range. Why is it saying including driving range? I don't get that.
I don't know. I've lost the will to live. I don't know where you are with this email.
I'm a bit scatty today.
Today?
Wednesday the 25th of November, Canterbury Golf Club. So that must be including
that will be why.
So it means you can have a little tee off, whatever they do, and shout four a lot. Thursday the 3rd of December, Hollywood Bowl Maidstone in Hollywood Bowl. Maidstone, and the guest speaker on Wednesday the 9th of December is at the Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne. It'll be the lovely Linda Garcia from Aluxi Consulting.
Fantastic.
She of the sort of lovely jadey blue colour on her logo.
Thank you for that.
Yeah,
I'm glad
you
told us that.
I like her logo.
That's good. She'll be pleased. Well, thank you for that. But do you know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to introduce our first guest onto the show and actually have some common sense, some, you know, some decorum, something useful, something
he,
that
Dan
doesn't...
Dan Powell, the pancake tosser.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too sure if that's going to happen.
Someone that hasn't recently spent time trawling around the southern states of the USA. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Dan Powell. And Dan did remind me that he had actually been on the Bunker Show many years ago in a different guise with a different role that he had.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago. We weren't even in these studios the last time you were on, Dan.
No, I think you moved shortly after I'd been into the old studio. That was linked.
We had to, mate. They wouldn't let us stay after that, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Dan onto the Business Bunker Show. Dan is from Co Club Southeast, and I'll tell you what, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a bit about Dan and
Dan
about
do
what
everything.
You do.
I have to do everything. Okay, so I don't know if people are going to be particularly interested to find out who I am, but I can tell you about Co Club. Mm. Co Club's a national organisation. We run after school computer clubs for 9 to 11 year olds.
Right.
We're not for profit.
Right.
And part of my role is to recruit volunteers to go and lead the clubs. Mm. So that's kind of what we do in a nutshell, really.
Absolutely, and it is massively important what you're doing, and. I'm not putting this to you for you to answer this. This is one of my personal rants, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But one of the things that I really struggle with in this country is that we have ignored the IT revolution for nearly 50 years as far as education is concerned. And it's only in the last year or so that proper coding-based IT has actually been included in the curriculum. But
that's
of course,
right.
One of the problems that we face now is we don't have any teachers, or we don't have enough teachers that are able to do anything about this. So a lot of things have been left to organisations like Co Club. Mm-hmm. In East Kent, we have a small organisation called Epic. I don't know if you know the lovely Doreen Flies. She runs a small group called Epic, and they do the same kind of thing as you on a not-for-profit basis. And
it'd also, be good to if you could link me up with that. That'd be great.
Certainly can. Yeah,
good to hear from her.
They do coding, but they start off from a Minecraft
Oh, okay, yeah. I know people that do a similar sort of thing. Yeah.
And also, you might want to meet Alan Noak, who's a great friend of the family, great friend of the Business Bunker show. And Alan is a maths teacher at Sandwich Technology College, but he runs an after-school and lunchtime coding club.
Oh, great. Okay, it would be really good to meet up with him.
So, but let's talk about Code Club Southeast. Mm-hmm. You're not-for-profit. How are you funded? Is it a voluntary thing? And
we're funded primarily by, we get money from NESTA, the National Endowment for Science, Technology and the Arts.
Right.
And we're funded by people like Samsung and Arm. You know, Arm, I don't know if you've heard of Arm.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Make the chip that goes in everyone's phone.
Yeah.
We're funded by them and by Google and various other people. So,
you've got people in the technology world that are actually helping you help themselves, basically.
Absolutely. I think they recognise that we need to, there's a skills gap for coding, for programmers, and that we can help with that.
Absolutely. I just want to re-emphasise that. There is a massive skills gap. One of my many roles is I've just been elected to the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway, as the lead on education and employment.
Oh, okay.
So
congratulations.
Thank you. So we're trying to build a bridge between schools and colleges and businesses about what businesses need in terms of skills, mm-hmm. attitudes and all the rest of it. Not an easy thing. And one of the biggest things that we do need is STEM skills.
Absolutely.
We have a massive shortage. There's loads and loads of jobs. Very hard to fill. We're having to import people from overseas to fill the jobs because there's just too many jobs to fill. So the kind of work that you're doing is massively important for the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think also, do you know Kent and Medway STEM? Have you been in touch with them?
Yes, they're
great people you used to talk to. I think it is about that, obviously, and there is this big skills gap, and you know that's part of the reason I think that we started 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that coding brings in lots of life skills for people that aren't, not all of the kids that come to our clubs are going to go on to become computer programmers.
No, absolutely.
But whatever you're doing in the future, I don't think you're going to be able to avoid using a computer or at the very least, you're going to need to solve a problem or work collaboratively. And those are things that coding kind of promotes and our clubs promote very actively.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dan, and it's something that I see as my background is in technology.
Mm-hmm.
As we discussed earlier, I am incredibly old, and I started in technology. I started in technology, you know, when we were using hammers and chisels and tablets of the rock kind.
Did you have an abacus? Was that your first computer?
I designed an abacus. And, abacus
he
was
used to go to work on a woolly mammoth.
No, an abacus was a futurology thing at the time. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. But the interesting thing is back in the day, back in the day, there was only two kind of jobs that you could do in computing then, which was a programmer or a hardware engineer. I was actually a hardware engineer, but I eventually did become a systems programmer. But we've moved on now to such an extent, of course, that technology is part of everyone's everyday life.
Okay.
So what you find now are young people do have technology in their DNA. You know, they were born being able to do Facebook and Twitter and websites and stuff like that. So you're absolutely right. It's not necessarily about getting work as a programmer.
Mm.
It's just knowing the skills to use in every other facet of life because every other facet of life has some kind of technology impact on it these days.
Absolutely. I think we talk a lot about kids now being digital natives, you know, because they could, you know, they're always looking at screens, picking up a phone or a tablet.
Mm.
Actually, they're digital consumers, and I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
I like looking at stuff on my laptop. I love shopping online and,
you know,
consuming stuff. But I think I'm slightly younger than you. I just wanted to point that out.
Quite a lot.
And,
here we go.
Slightly younger than Jules as well, but, you know, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. But I had a ZX81 when I was 12, and me and my dad sat in front of this ZX81 plugged into the telly, and we copied computer programs in BASIC out of magazines, and then a couple of years later, I think I got an Acorn Electron. I did my computer studies O-level. And then I went on, once I got my grade B in computer studies, I didn't go off and become a programmer. I became an artist, and then I became a fundraiser, and I carried on doing a bit of art stuff, and got into community engagement. But I recognise a computer as a tool. It's something that you can use, and I think we need to get back to that.
Yeah.
Get back to kids being able to kind of think, well, a computer is something I can program it, and not being afraid of it. Not being afraid of it as a magic box that they can't do anything with. Because once you start to learn how to do programming. We use a program called Scratch. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Scratch is it was developed at MIT, and it's a way of teaching primary school children about programming. It's a drag-and-drop environment. Really, it's an amazing piece of software. Once kids start using that, they can see that they can actually use a computer as a tool. And getting back to that again is really, really important.
Absolutely. One more self-disparaging story. When my youngest son was about 10, about 10 years ago, we went to the Science Museum for the day, and they had an exhibition of the history of IT, and they had a mainframe there, and I stupidly blurted out, "That's an IBM 37158. And everybody looked at me, and I went, "I used to work on one of those." And my son went, "Oh, God, my dad's a museum exhibit." It wasn't that long ago.
No.
But you're absolutely right, Dan, about this ability to code and losing your fear of it. Because, you know, it is something that you can do a lot with, isn't it? And do you guys use things like Raspberry Pi and stuff like that?
Well, it's funny because we've actually just merged with the Raspberry Pi Foundation a couple of weeks ago. So we're kind of looking at that. But yeah, basically, the way it works at Code Club is we have projects that we have a guy called Rick Cross who used to be a primary school teacher, and he writes one-hour projects. So volunteers go in and deliver those projects,
right?
And they build skills in computing that are linked to the current ICT curriculum.
Right.
So what he's doing at the moment is writing projects for Raspberry Pi. So those things are coming. They'll be coming soon. And do you know about the micro bit, the BBC micro bit?
And not as much as I know about Raspberry Pi.
Okay. Mm. So the micro bit is the new BBC B. Remember the BBC B when it came out in
absolutely.
The 80s?
It's
what they're doing. It's the kind of next step in that. It's their kind of attempt to engage lots of kids in programming. Mm. So I think it was developed in association with the Raspberry Pi Foundation and Microsoft and Samsung and probably some other people who I should remember as well. Mm. And it's like a smaller version of the Raspberry Pi with a little...
For those that don't know, the Raspberry Pi
is
an incredibly cheap computer.
Yeah,
it's like 20 quid or
30
something.
30 quid, I think you can get one for. You plug it into any screen and you plug a keyboard and a mouse into it and it runs quite a basic operating system. It's a version of Linux, but you can do loads of amazing stuff with it. You can build robots with it, you can program it, you can run Minecraft on it, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
We actually, just so you know, we're actually broadcasting our output files are all through a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. we're Apple Brilliant. Mac here, but we've got a Raspberry Pi sitting there as our broadcast server, just because you can. Yeah.
But that's great because it's not prohibitive for people on low income.
No,
More or less any child could get a Raspberry Pi.
And not to steal Danson because this is his deal, but I'm totally into this and I love this. Because you, as Dan just said, you can do lots of things with a Raspberry Pi. You can build it into robotics. You can make things out of it. You can make stuff that does stuff, not just executes as a piece of code. You know, you can do all kinds of things with it, and it's cheap enough that you can buy loads of them and do stuff with it.
Hang
on, I'm confused. I know nothing about this.
That's okay.
I could eat a Raspberry Pi, but I know. But when you say you can build stuff that does stuff, what can you do with it? Games and things, but what could you? What could a kid?
Well, you
do
can
with
use it in robotics. You can use it as the brain behind a. You could build just as an example. You could build something out of Meccano, and you could build the Raspberry Pi into it to make it move its legs, or you know, walk about or whatever.
Then you'd probably say you use. I don't know, use a piece of software like Python, which is a kind of grown-up programming language. But you can use Scratch actually to do it has little pins on it that you can send, so you can send wires out, outputs to motors, and then you just do a bit of coding, and it makes the motor whir around, and it makes the robot's legs move, or its arms move, or its eyes flash on and off, or whatever you want it to do.
That's amazing. So then could you perhaps give it to an elderly person, thinking of my mum who's in her 80s, who's never used anything like that? Sounds quite as if it's fairly simple. Could she get things to hoover a house with it and things, like robots?
I think you'd probably be better off buying a robot that would hoover your
house. It's already done.
Getting your mum into doing lots of coding. And I mean, we could give it a try. I don't see why not. There are plenty of people who are in their 80s that do coding and do this kind of stuff. So, why not?
Cool. So, thank you. Yeah, really good application, that, Jules. So what I want to find out now, Dan, is Coding Club, how does one go about becoming part of it?
Getting involved.
How do you get involved? When does it take place? What kind of things do you do on it? And you did mention the age range, but give us a, tell us again what the age.
So it's for 9 to 11 year olds. It's 9 to 11. Key stage 2.
Right.
And so we're looking for schools to get involved. We've got a lot of schools. A lot of schools in Kent are already looking to start a club. It runs like any after school club. So it's an hour once a week during term time.
Okay. After school.
After school, we have a few that run at lunchtimes or before school, but I think after school is best, really.
Right.
And we have volunteers that go in and deliver the projects that I mentioned earlier. Mm. So all the content's written for you. A lot of our volunteers traditionally have come from the tech industry, so they're people that are very passionate about programming because they're programmers. But I think more and more now we're looking to recruit people who are just passionate about computers, people like me who don't have a technical background.
Right.
I mean, I think as long as you can stay one jump ahead of a 9-year-old, and you've got
not
the project
easy,
to support
not
you.
Easy.
No, not easy. I have to say, my daughter, who's 8, comes to the club that I run, and she's always telling me how to do stuff on Scratch that I don't know about. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that's what we're, you know, if people want to get involved, if there are companies out there that feel it would be, you know, that they'd be able to release some of their people during the day, I think that's the thing, is that it's something you have to do, say, 3:30 to 4:30. So you have to be able to go and take some time out during your working day.
Right.
But there's always ways around that. We often encourage people to maybe work in pairs or twos or threes on a club, so that if someone's got a meeting or they're on leave or whatever, then there's still someone there to run the club.
Okay, cool. So the clubs are traditionally run by volunteers. Presumably you also get quite a few teachers that get involved as well.
Oh, absolutely,
they're good at things like that.
Well, we always say that there should be a teacher in the room or an LSA in the room just to help with the kind of crowd control stuff. And often the teachers get really involved. I think you alluded to this earlier, that a lot of teachers that are teaching the ICT curriculum maybe don't have the background, and so it's a really good way for them to build some skills as well.
Absolutely. I love it as a concept. I think it's really brilliant. It's certainly very necessary. It's probably also something that could do with going up a couple of age groups as well. I know you guys have got a specific brief, but I'm also a governor, because I don't do very much. I'm also a governor of a college, and again, we don't teach IT skills. Mm. We just don't. We don't have web design skills. We don't have any courses in it at all, because it's not part of the national curriculum, you know, as it's designed. So, but again, it's something that we'd like to introduce, even if we have to do it as a, you know, kind of extracurricular type of thing. So, that's really brilliant. So, is there any way, so if I've got kids or there are kids listening to this, which they probably aren't, but if I think my kids are going to be interested, is there any way that they can find out where in the southeast they can do one of these clubs, or how they can persuade their school or wherever they're based to get involved? How can they do that?
I guess you go to our website, codeclub.org.uk. And you can search on the front page, there's a search, you can look for a club locally to you. So there are two kinds of clubs, I should say. So the school clubs are for pupils at a particular school, but we do have public clubs as well.
So so that's cool.
Yeah, we're doing more work with libraries. I think Strood Library are going to be running a club soon.
Right, okay.
I should probably check that, but I'm pretty sure that's happening. And I think we're working more and more with library services now.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth checking there. If you want to persuade your school to start a club, then if you follow me on Twitter, CodeClubSE, and just drop me a message, I can get in touch with the school and try and help out. Or there's lots of resources on our website that you can use to talk to the school about setting a club up as well.
Okay, brilliant.
I'm just thinking also summer holiday camps and things like that. I guess you start doing things in the summer and...
So we do a few activities like that, yeah. I think we've had kind of a couple of hackathons and things like that. But and that's, I think...
That will grow.
It will grow as we grow, you know. We're just coming out of the start-up phase. We've got over 3,000 clubs across the UK.
Wow.
Okay. So we're really, you know, we're really trying to build some capacity for that first, and then there'll be more stuff coming.
Absolutely.
On top of that.
Absolutely. Well, it's a fabulous thing you're doing.
Thank you.
And, you know, it is so needed. And, you know, we wish you much success with it. If you want to get involved, as Dan says, do go to their website, find out more about it. If you're at school and your school currently aren't involved, pester the teachers.
Absolutely.
Tell them you want a code club there. Go on strike.
I don't know if we'd advocate that.
Burn it. No.
Remind us the age group again, because you said key stage something.
It's 9 to 11.
Yeah.
9 to 11, yeah.
So that would still be primary schools, yeah?
Yes, it's the top 2 years of primary school.
Yeah, okay.
Years 5 and 6.
Which is fabulous. So, you know, do try and get your school to at least look at it and think about it, yeah, because it is good. And we know that teachers have a huge amount of work dumped on them, and sometimes they kind of probably think, oh, I don't need any more. But there is help. There are volunteers that can come in and help with this, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Most definitely.
We
yeah.
certainly
yeah.
know lots of boffins, don't we, that come
we
on
do,
the show.
We do, yeah, yeah. Okay. And I certainly put Dan in touch with some people like Doreen that already runs a successful coding club.
That'd be great. Love to chat to them.
Yeah, and
Alan knows.
And Alan, although Alan's at a secondary school, so he's outside your age range, but, I mean, it's still worth knowing because he's doing stuff like that. Mm. So give us one more shout for the website so that people can go in and find out more about it, Dan.
Okay, it's codeclub.org.uk.
Fantastic. Dan, thank you so much for coming in and tell us about that. We're really, really right behind that. The actual link to the website is on the Business Bunker website.
Brilliant.
As well.
Thank you.
And it will stay on there forever. So the link will always be on there. So if you want to go out and find the link to the Code Club website, it is on Kent Business Radio website. It will stay there. Currently, it's on the homepage. It will be in show number 251, but it will also be on our community page. We have a page where we list community websites and organisations of interest, so it will remain there. Dan, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show and telling us about Code Club. We absolutely love what you're doing. More power to you. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your support.
No, absolute pleasure. We really love what you're doing.
And he makes a mean pancake as well.
He does.
I wonder about any more.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Meditation Trust have just tweeted in and they say, hi to me, and not mention of you, Paul.
Good. That's what
they
I
say,
like.
Listening in the office again, please shout out our intro talk on meditation. It's at Bleak House in Broadstairs. It's this evening at 6:30 p.m. And so thanks them. You can follow them on the Twitter. They are at Meditation Trust. So nice and simple there. So it's tonight 6:30 in Broadstairs at Bleak House.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about this. A Knight, a Prize and the Apprentice at the Kent Unconference. I mentioned it earlier. There is an unconference. It's free. It's totally free to attend. It's happening at Canterbury Cathedral Lodge this Thursday. It starts at 11 o'clock and it goes through till 3 o'clock. And the Kent Unconference is part of Global Entrepreneurs Week, which is this week. It's actually Global Entrepreneurs Week this week. And there are loads of people that are preparing some dynamic pitches that we don't know about. There is no agenda. We don't know what they're going to talk about. People are going to rock up and pitch something, okay? Not sales pitches, but just items of interest. And the whole idea behind this is it's a bit like open mic at a comedy club. If you don't want to hear any more, you walk away and don't listen to them any longer, and then they get the idea and shut up, yeah? That's the idea.
Got to be quite thick-skinned.
Yeah. But there's a number of things going on, and what there is you start with a very short pitch. So this is a 60-second what I'm going to be talking about. And those people that have got something interesting can then have a longer pitch in an area just for them. So you work out where you want to go and who you want to listen to, and then you attend a longer pitch. That's how it works. But there's no structure to it. It's all kind of open source, for want of a better term. And on Thursday, there's a prize from Warren Knight, and he's going to award the winning business growth specialist. Warren Knight will be awarding a brilliant prize for the most inspirational presentation given by a delegate at the Unconference. And the lucky winner will receive Warren's Social Media for Business Bootcamp online training package designed to teach you how to define your audience and do a complete marketing thing for free. And you can follow Warren on the Twitter at Warren Knight, that's Knight with a K. So do have a look at that. And then Chloe Harold, who is an employment lawyer at UK law firm Doyle Clayton, and she writes an informative and rather fun column for the HR Director magazine, outlining the HR and employment law blunders that occur on each episode of Alan Sugar's highly popular show, The Apprentice. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'll get the opportunity to meet Chloe at the Unconference, so make sure that you read her column and catch her on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is CH_ApprenticeHR. So basically, she writes a comedy column that highlights all the infringements that Sugar and his team make on The Apprentice, of which there are many.
I was going to say, I bet that's quite a long column.
Yeah, not least of which, you're fired, which is completely unallowed in reality. We'll also be hearing from business intelligence expert Paul Cook. And he says he's looking forward to the unconference and to giving a one-minute pitch to see if other delegates will vote for him to speak on the day. And he is the head of Insight at Just Eat, the food takeaway delivery people. So I think that's going to be fascinating. I'd like to say a huge thank you to the sponsors of this free event. Rift Accounting, Canterbury City Council through their Start My Biz and Grow My Biz projects. And we also have sponsors who are Advantage Business Partners. And Advantage Business Partners are going to be awarding some little prizes to some of the speakers as well.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, which is really lovely of them. So big thank you to that. If you want to know any more about the unconference, you can call Jane Ollis, who's the Managing Director at Rift Accounting, and you can call them on 01233 653006. You can find them on the Kent Business Radio website by clicking anywhere basically on the website, because it all goes to Rift's page, and we have a big thing on the homepage that goes to Rift, so do find them out. If you go into kentbusinessradio.co.uk/blogs, there is a blog about the unconference, and if you go in there, there is a link to book your free place on this Thursday's thing. But get in there quick. The last time I looked, which was yesterday, there were over 100 delegates booked. So do book it soon if you're thinking of coming along. So thank you for that, and we're really looking forward to it. It's a first for Kent, and we really do appreciate the sponsors of that, Canterbury City Council and Advantage Business Partnership.
It's good that they're working together.
Yeah, brilliant.
DSH welcomes the end of business record checks. Can you please tell me what DSH stands for? Department of...
No, DSH are a firm of accountants.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. DSH are welcoming the end.
I could have made that
end.
Up, couldn't I? I could have made something up there.
Yeah, I would have been impressed.
Department of Southern Hospitality.
Well, they have obviously written in about shrimp and grits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they're welcoming the end of business record checks, they say. So it's a decision to phase out business record checks after a three-year pilot came to an end has been welcomed as a sensible move for small and medium-sized businesses, SMEs, by DSH Chartered Accountants, you were right, Paul Andrews, and Business Advisors. Launched by HM Revenue and Customs, that's the HMRC, the programme was designed to ensure taxpayers were keeping sufficient records to enable them to produce an accurate tax return. They've obviously seen my little tin that I put all my receipts into.
Absolutely.
It follows a business records check. HMRC deemed a taxpayer's record keeping to be inadequate. It was able to impose penalties, the level of which were dependent on the seriousness of the record keeping failure. And HMRC made use of existing legalisation to introduce business record checks. And the policy was relaunched a number of times, says Gemma Hutchinson of DSH's Maidstone office. The checks were widely criticised by a number of professional people for being ineffective and poorly targeted, and even HMRC has admitted they were not necessarily, in the majority of cases, they weren't necessary. So it's still, they're saying, something of a surprise that they are now to be phased out. And Gemma has added that HMRC will incorporate checks into existing compliance work, so there remains an onus on businesses to ensure their records are sufficient and up to date. If you'd like advice on this, please contact Gemma on 01622 690666, or you can go to their website, which is dsh.co.uk.
Thank you for that. Got a couple of tweets in line with what Dan was saying about training young people. Lee Willis of Ancorians Football Club, a community football club over there in Webmay, who says, listening into the Business Bunker show, please could you give us a shout out? We have free training for girls under 7 upwards and their football teams, community football teams over there in Medway. And Ancorians Football Club run many, many teams for many, many people, all age groups, boys and girls. disabled teams, all kinds of things. They are a recognised KCFA community club, and they have dozens and dozens of teams, and they're particularly looking for girls under 7 and above to take part in the footy. So do follow them. And Deborah Turner, You Image Consult on the Twitter, says, could you give me a shout out for my event on the 10th of December? It's a masterclass in how to wow for your Xmas party.
That'll be good for you.
Because, Deborah is an image consultant, so she's going to tell you how to wow for your Christmas party.
So I'm seeing you in a little gold lame number, perhaps.
Absolutely. And that's taking place from 10 a.m. to 12:30 at Base Point North on the 10th of December. And you can follow and find out more about that by following Deborah on the Twitter at You Image Consult.